Dear friends in Christ, exactly 444 years ago today, on October 7th, 1571, at the direction and after the initiative of great Pope St. Pius V, a terrible threat to Europe and to Christendom was averted when the Christian forces over near Greece, in the Gulf of Lepanto, defeated a much bigger Turkish Muslim force that was intent on invading and conquering Europe. The defeat of those invading Turkish forces changed the course of history. The Turks never recovered from the loss of their navy there. And it really put an end to the threats of invasion, certainly through the Mediterranean of the Turks. Although there were later land attacks, there was another great victory in 1683 at the gates of Vienna, when the Polish king John Sobieski and his army turned away, drove back the invading Muslims. And so Pope Pius V, as I'm sure you've heard, or most of you have heard, he had a vision of God at the great victory. Of course, back in those days, it would have taken several days or a week for the news to come back by ship that the victory had been won. He was meeting with his cardinals that afternoon, and suddenly he rose up and he walked to the window in the papal apartment, stopped and paused. He turned back to the other cardinals and said, "Let us give thanks to God. We have won a great victory." God had shown him the victory that very same afternoon that the battle was fought and won. So promptly he instituted a feast, with that word as the key word, Our Lady of Victory, or Victories. And this church, of course, is named after Our Lady under that glorious title, remembering the great victory at Lepanto. Not long after that, the next pope, I think it was Gregory XIII, changed the name to the Feast of Our Lady of the Rosary. But that's what the title we use today, because the Rosary was largely instrumental in winning that battle. Pope St. Pius V, when he knew the battle was coming up, he gave special instructions to all the priests around, everyone he could find, to tell the people to pray the Rosary for the protection of Christendom. And he had a great public rosary procession through the streets of Rome. And so when the victory came, he naturally realized that this is largely through the intercession of Our Lady of the Rosary. And that's the feast we celebrate today, but it's the same feast as our patronal feast, St. Mary of Victories. It's interesting that as Our Lady at that time, as Our Lady of the Rosary, won a great victory against the threat of a Muslim invasion back then. It was also as Our Lady of the Rosary that the Blessed Mother appeared to the children at Fatima. We'll be having the anniversary of that coming up in just 6 days' time, on October the final apparition and miracle of the sun on October the 13th. But as we remember that time, and Our Lady's apparition at Fatima was in a particular way directed to another tremendous and terrible threat against Christian civilization, the one that she referred to in telling Sister Lucy that great prayers and sacrifices would have to be made because Russia would spread her errors throughout the world. And just 1 month, less than a month after that final apparition at Fatima, Lenin and the communists, the Bolsheviks, took over Russia. And we know that for 70 years after that, there was terrible bloodshed and persecution, not only of Catholics and Christians, of all religions, by that terrible atheistic scourge of communism, which is still alive and active in a number of parts of the world. But yes, Our Lady of Victories, Our Lady who wins a victory through the Rosary, has repeatedly then intervened in the course of history, asking that the Rosary be prayed in order to avert great dangers to the Christian people. A wonderful example of that again happened in 1955 in Austria. We have Blessed Charles of Austria, The last apostolic king of Hungary after the first apostolic king, St. Stephen, first and last, both saints. But Blessed Charles offered up his life shortly after World War I for the protection and salvation of his people, particularly Austria, because he was himself Austrian, but he was the king of Hungary as well. Well, after World War II, the Soviets divided up Austria like they had Germany. There was East and West Germany, East and West Austria. The Soviets took in a great part of Austria. And there was a great danger by the mid-1950s. Stalin was and Khrushchev were seeking to try and take over the whole of Austria. In 1955, there was a priest in Austria, I forget his name now, but he decided we're going to have to call on Our Lady of the Rosary again to save Austria. And thousands and thousands of rosaries were organized, rosary processions in all the parishes of Austria. The bishops, again, at the urging of this priest, said, yes, we must pray the rosary. There was a tremendous rosary crusade throughout all the Catholics of Austria in the first half of 1955. And then, amazingly, the Russians just left and walked out. It's never been made clear why they decided to leave from their point of view, but none of the political experts were expecting that. Those who understand the power of the rosary know that this was, yes, another victory, saving a country from the scourge of communism. This, of course, is the Hungarian Catholic Church, and Hungary suffered grievously under half a century of communism. We have some of the martyrs and heroes, their photographs at the back of the church here, which you've all seen. We pray for their intercession today on the Feast of the Rosary, the Feast of Our Lady of Victories. And we need to be aware that another threat, another different kind of threat to Christendom is now threatening Europe. In particular, Hungary has been very well aware of this. We're not hearing the full story about the refugees coming from Syria and the crisis in the Middle East. The media and the television are presenting these as simply poor, defenseless families escaping from the civil war in Syria. And of course, a great many are like that. But there's also, along with the families who are genuine refugees, a great many of those who are pushing to come into Europe in huge numbers now are vigorous, young, fighting-age men, unaccompanied by women and children. And they are not humbly seeking to be given, refuge to escape the perils of war. Again, many of them are, but there's a great many who are not. And a few days ago I saw, maybe some of you have seen also, a short video from Hungary. Very telling and very troubling. It was about a 4-minute video showing a great many of these Syrian, Turkish, Afghan, Muslim migrants who were admitted into Hungary, and they were on a train ready to be taken up to Austria because, as you probably heard, Austria and Germany are taking a lot more of these Muslim refugees, so-called refugees from the Middle East. But the thing that struck me as very telling was this. You can see that video, the train at the station, I think in Budapest, waiting to go on up to Austria, packed with Muslim immigrants. And the Red Cross people are coming along there on the platform, offering water and food to these refugees, bottles of water, packages of food. And you would think, well, these refugees suffering, need and want, they'd be very grateful for this hospitality given by the Hungarian people and the Red Cross. Not at all. You can see the reaction there. The great majority of the people there are men, and they scornfully reject the gifts of water and food being offered by the Hungarian Red Cross. Why? Because that's the cross. They will not accept anything that's to do with the cross. They hate the cross of Christ. They'll only take the Red Crescent as the Muslim equivalent of the Red Cross. You see pictures, photographs directly there of Muslim men taking these gifts of water and scornfully throwing them on the railway tracks, rejecting the hospitality and charity of those who are seeking to help them. The only ones who come and accept food and water are a number of little children who have not yet been indoctrinated sufficiently to know that they're to hate Christians and all the symbols of Christianity. This, dear friends, is indicative. It's something we're not being told about much on the news, because if you mention anything like this on the media, you'll be called a racist by the powers that be. But the reality is there. Many of the imams in those countries have been preaching for years, by force of demography, we are going to invade and take over Europe. And the demographic lesson is clear there. Europe is contracepting and aborting itself out of existence. The Christian or so-called or the remnants of Christianity there, it's dying in much of Western Europe. And in many parts of Europe now, the Muslims are having much bigger families than the so-called Christians, the original inhabitants there. And yes, we're looking forward to a period by the end of this century, very likely, unless something happens, Islam will dominate. And they won't be nice, tolerant, peaceful Muslims. That scene on the railway platform of Budapest is very telling. I think it's probably prophetic. I'm not saying they're terrorists. I'm not saying they're about to kill and be suicide bombers. There's maybe some of them, but for every one terrorist in the Muslim culture, there's 10 or 20 other Muslims who are not going to go that far, but they definitely want Sharia law to rule in their country and whatever country they succeed in taking over. That is Orthodox Islam. It's not a distortion of Islam. All of the main theological schools of Islam recognize Sharia law must rule. Islam must rule. So it's time, I'm going on about this at a little bit of length here, because I think that today's feast day can be seen as a wake-up call that we need more than ever again the prayers of Our Lady of the Rosary in our own families, in our own life. This is not, of course, the threat of Islam is not such an immediate threat here in the United States. We're a long way away from that. But little by little, this is likely to become an increasing problem in the years that come. We must pray very much for Christian civilization. The Hungarians have been taking in the lead, and they've been attacked on all sides, the Hungarian government, for putting up a fence to stop the more thousands and even millions of Muslim immigrants who want to come rushing in and keep rushing in. And the Hungarians are saying, we need to preserve our own culture, our own Christian traditional culture. We have a right to that. We have a right to control who comes into our country, and this is the only way to do it. Croatia has also set up another fence there. Again, they're being attacked by the liberal elites in Western Europe, but I think that they're doing the right thing. We need to pray for Hungary, pray for the whole of Europe, and ask for the blessing of Our Lady of the Rosary, Our Lady of Victories, to intercede once again to protect us, our families, and our future. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, the Holy Spirit. Amen.